Welcome to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast from Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church, a Reformed congregation that was planted in 1989 here in Northern Florida. Our goal is to glorify God in all of life, to advance the kingdom of God to all people, and to extend the covenant of God to all generations. Our hope is to see Reformation one soul at a time. And now, here's Pastor Rob Hamm with today's daily devotional from God's Word.
Well, welcome back to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Rob Hamm, and I serve as the pastor of Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church. We're a Reformed congregation here in Northern Florida. And today, on this special Thursday edition of our broadcast, I am so excited to be joined by a very special guest. He's a blogger, he's a pastor, a speaker, and a writer, and I'm thrilled to be able to welcome Tim Challies to today's episode. Tim serves as one of the pastors at Grace Fellowship Church. It's an independent local congregation up in Toronto, Canada. He's the founding blogger at Challies.com. He's the co-founder of Cruciform Press and a regular book reviewer for World Magazine. Tim's the author of 5 books, including The Next Story, Life and Faith After the Digital Explosion, as well as Visual Theology, Seeing and Understanding the Truth About God. And of course, one of his newest books, which we're going to be, Lord willing, talking about today, is titled Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity. Well, Tim, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today, my friend.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess the first question that's on everyone's mind right now, buddy, is how is weather up there in Canada? I'm sure that's the number one thought they have.
Yeah, it's just about perfect. It's 1 or 2 degrees above freezing, and that's just where I like it. So
it's perfect. Very similar to Florida. Yeah, very similar to that 70 degrees and not a cloud in the sky.
Well, we do Celsius up here, so I don't know whether that's hot or cold.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, my wife and
it's 1 degree Celsius, which is perfect.
My wife and I lived for a few years in Northwest Indiana, so we feel your pain. We know what that was like.
Yeah. No. I'm serious. This is much better. I feel sympathetic toward you with your 70 degrees.
As I mentioned a moment ago, among many other things, you are one of the founders of Cruciform Press Publishing. And, for those of our listeners who haven't yet visited cruciformpress.com before, maybe you could just start by telling us the purpose of this particular publishing company and why do you view it as such a helpful resource for Christ Church? Because it's one of my favorite places to send people to get literature.
Yeah, it sort of came out of, I had written a blog series called Sexual Detox about pornography several years ago and decided that I wanted to package that up as a book, expand it, edit it, package it up as a book. Got in touch with Kevin Meath, whom I had met just out there somewhere. He was an editor. And when I talked to him about the book and asked his help, he said, why don't we think about starting something together? And we could maybe major in books about that size, books that are about 100 pages long. Hmm. And we thought, we can offer something there. First, the size of the books, but also the urgency because of the nature of the company. We can get them out very quickly. Where usually it takes about a year from the time you submit a manuscript to a publisher, but by the time it actually comes out, we can do that in a much shorter time frame, partly because of the length of the book. So we started it and had some good response in the early days, and it just keeps going.
It's fantastic, and that book, by the way, Soul Detox or Sexual Detox, is such a great read.
Good, yeah.
Well, with that all in mind, today I'd love to talk with you a little bit about one of your newest books called "Do More Better: A Practical Guide to Productivity." Tim, maybe you could share with us a little bit about how this book came about. What motivated you to write this? What was the impetus behind this project?
Yeah, I'm self-employed and in creative work, which means I can just sit here and do nothing all day and nobody's really going to know, or I can be very productive. And over time, I had really tried to put a lot of effort into being more productive, into growing in my productivity. And I'd done it by just trying different software tools and reading different books. And I found that there were lots of Band-Aid solutions, but nothing that was really getting to the heart of it. And so several years ago, I began to look into how can I, as a Christian, really think well about productivity? Is there a distinctly Christian way of thinking about living a productive life? And by searching the Bible and doing a bit of reading, I found that's exactly the case. And so this book really came out of my own experience of trying to apply biblical principles to productivity.
Well, you know, one of the things that I found to be probably the most fascinating about your book was actually the way that you started it in chapter one. You know, because over the years, most of the books that I've read on the subject of productivity, you know, begins with lessons, like you said, on how to manage your time or how to develop, you know, habits of calendaring your week. But that's not where you began at all. Instead, the book begins with a theological catechism of all things surrounding this subject of teleology or of our purpose as human beings. When it comes to something so practical like productivity, why do you think it's so important for us to start with a strong theological foundation as you've laid it out in your book?
Well, I think anything is worth doing based on a strong theological foundation. The better we understand what God calls us to be and how God tells us to behave, the better we'll do in the end, the longer lasting the changes will be. So many of us have read books on productivity and tried to address problems. I'm not using my time well, or I don't feel right about what I'm doing, or my life is chaotic. But what most of us have not done is go back right to the foundation and ask, what is productivity? Why does God want me to be productive? Does it really matter? And if we lay that firm foundation, then we can start building a much better structure upon it. And so going to this catechism, just a question and answer format, leading to a definition of productivity that I think is far more effective and far more satisfying than the ones you tend to find in most off the shelf of the local bookstore type of productivity books.
If you know, if we were to look up that word productivity in the dictionary, you'd most likely find a definition that, you know, goes something like, you know, productivity is the act of producing something, and that's typically the idea that people have in their minds when we think about you know, this subject, that productivity is about just getting stuff done. But in your book, you actually give a very different definition of productivity than we hear in our day. Tim, how would you define productivity coming from the worldview of biblical Christianity?
Yeah, so I think if you go looking out there, you'll find that most definitions are pretty much selfish in that you get to create your own definition of productivity. You get to determine what it looks like to be productive. You get to be your own measure. I went to the Bible and found that I think productivity is something like effectively stewarding your gifts, talents, time, energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God. Mm-hmm. In other words, so we're taking productivity and we're saying we need to direct this Godward. All I do is meant to glorify God, and the way I glorify God is by doing good for others. And so I need to direct my life at that. How can I do good to others? And in that way, bring glory to God. So that is the ultimately unselfish pursuit, right? I'm living for this productivity that is directed toward other people and then ultimately toward God.
It reminds me of the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, right?
Right.
You know, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And I remember teaching a class on that before, and I was using G.I. Williamson's study guide on the Shorter Catechism, and he spends a whole chapter, you know, talking about two different worldviews, a world that is God-centered or a world that is man-centered. And I think you really nailed that in your book in a really helpful way.
And I had read those books, the G.I. Williamson books on the catechisms when I was a kid, and had been deeply steeped in that Presbyterian understanding. And so, yeah, definitely that's in the background of this.
In your book, you spend an entire chapter on the subject of understanding our mission as followers of Jesus Christ. Tim, beyond, you know, a theological foundation, why is understanding our mission so vital for us as we seek to, as you said, effectively steward our gifts and our time and our energies for others and for God's glory?
Yeah, well, mission can be used a couple ways within the book. And one, yes, we have a mission from God, the Great Commission, the creation mandate, all these things. We've been given these clear marching orders from God. And so what I try to do is to get people to break their life into these different areas of responsibility and then to assign a mission to each one. And once we have that mission, we can go back to it on a regular basis and say, right, if this is my mission, am I doing those things? Am I meeting my mission here? Am I doing what God has called me to do? And then as I think about that mission, I can say, well, what actions do I need to bring about to fulfill this mission, to achieve this mission? And, well, now here are some things I should do or should accomplish this week or this year.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, one of the other books that you've written, which is a fantastic book, I love this one. It's called The Next Story, Life and Faith After the Digital Explosion. And Tim, in your opinion, in regards to our personal productivity, how do things like social networking and smartphones and other forms of our modern technology, how can they help us and how can they hinder our pursuit of being effective stewards of God's gifts for the glory of God and the good of others?
Yeah, our tools, our electronic tools like those can be absolutely amazing to help us with our productivity. They can also be massive hindrances. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that our technologies are closely related to our idolatries, the things we idolize. We tend to go to our tools, our electronic tools, and use those tools to further our idolatry. And so really, whatever you love, you'll use your tools to help you accomplish that. If I'm really loving the Lord, I'm using my tools in a certain way. I'm using it to further his glory by doing good to others. Hmm. If my heart is focused on something else, if something else is my joy, my satisfaction, then I use my tools to drive me towards that. Hmm. And so at any given moment, there are these great tools available for me. I'll be using them to achieve some goal. I'll be using them to pursue some deity. Whether that's so the capital D or a small D, I'll either be pursuing God through it or pursuing something, whether that's the captivity to money or captivity to lust or captivity to power or anything. So keeping in mind our tools are related to our idolatry, our technology is related to our idolatry, can really help shape the way we use them.
And to keep in mind, as you were talking, I'm thinking about John Calvin's, one of his most famous quotes, that the human heart is a perpetual factory of idols or a forge of idols. And Tim, as we wrap up, today's broadcast, and we could talk about this forever, but what words of encouragement would you share with our listeners as they strive to live productive and faithful lives for the glory of God? What parting words would you give to them even before they pick up your book, which they should?
Yeah, I would say be prepared to do some really tough foundation work. As I said before, the temptation is always just to put this Band-Aid solution on. Just get me a piece of software that will revolutionize my life, or just let me pick this thing up. I'll pay $20 for it, but in the end, I want it to change me forever. But what we so rarely do is go right back to the foundation and address, why do I need to be productive? What does it really mean to be productive? Once we go all the way back, we take some time, we put some thought and prayer into it, we can lay a new foundation. And then we find our tools are serving a much better and higher purpose. I'm not just trying to get more done. I'm not just trying to make more money or make people happy. No, I'm trying to do good to others and in that way bring glory to God. And all of my tools, all of my time is directed to that great goal. So lay a firm foundation, lay the right foundation, and everything else will build on top of it.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. I hope that we can have you on again at some point. I think that'd be great. And if you'd like more information on Tim's book, Do More Better, you can head over to cruciformpress.com, where you'll not only find that title, but many other books, short books, books that are very practical and helpful and quick to read, which were written to help you and I grow in our Christian walk. Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast, a ministry of Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church. If you would like more information about our church or the Reformed faith, please visit www.khpcworship.org. That's www.khpcworship.org.